Oh, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Another daily editorial on this holiday Monday, President's Day down in the U.S., Family Day here in Canada. I am chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also runs the New Orleans Investment Conference. It is happening again in the at the very beginning of November. Brian, let's talk about the general precious metals sector here, especially because precious metals did have some nice interest at the tail end of last year, even throughout last year and early on this year. However, there seems to be a bit of a lull in the market right now. Last week, I had a lot of interviews with companies recapping some of the news that came out throughout the first month. But right now, as I mentioned, a bit of a lull. However, that's not going to last for very long because we do have the PDAC coming up at the very beginning of March, and there's going to be a lot of news that gets pushed out ahead of that conference. Take us through the time of the year that we're in right now, where it's early on and gold has still done fairly well, but news flow has been slow but is about to pick up quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, coincidentally, the gold and silver are in kind of a lull at the same time as the mining stocks, at least the junior mining stock market that we really focus on, is also in a lull. And that's entirely coincidental. It's unrelated. I tell people all the time that, you know, they worry about the sentiment in the junior mining sector. And I tell them, don't worry about the sentiment because gold and silver don't give a damn what people in that sector think or worry about. They're going to do what they're going to do for overarching reasons. So just follow the metals and you'll see what's going to happen to the miners. But coincidentally, they are in both in kind of a lull. There's not a lot of news right now. You know, as we speak, it's a holiday. The markets are essentially closed. So it's not a lot to talk about on a very immediate basis. But it is the kind of a time where investors can think ahead and be active and make some money. There's going to be a lot of news coming out at PDAC. There always is. Companies somehow manage to get their drill results in right before PDAC and happen to just be able to release that news during PDAC and then get meetings set up and get excitement generated for their companies. There is kind of a market truism that the market peaks, or at least for the juniors, peaks around PDAC and then drops afterwards. But I think that's kind of hit and miss. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But one of the key things, the key opportunities that I see are these plays in some of the more northern latitudes, like especially the Golden Triangle, where your expiration season is only 4 or 5 months long. And prices of these stocks tend to increase as excitement increases as the drilling season is approaching. But at the lulls of the market right now, when in the 8 months or so out of the year, when these stocks are totally forgotten about, you can pick these things up for pennies on the dollar and have the hope, if not the expectation, that share prices would double or even triple before drill results come in. And if you're an active investor, an active trader, you can essentially have owned the stock for free, having sold half, buy it now, sell half, and then wait for drill results. So that's a real opportunity I see for a lot of these Golden Triangle plays.
All right. Yeah, one kind of fun thing about the Golden Triangle, especially for the retail investors, there's a lot of junior companies up there that have projects, some much more advanced than others, some that are really almost grassroots exploration still. So there's a lot of opportunity to buy maybe more expensive stocks, also some of the real penny stocks. What I think is most important, obviously, to look for is making sure that companies are cashed up heading into their drill program. If a company in the Golden Triangle is trying to raise money now, then they can be very much handcuffed and not have that run-up heading into actual drilling because of that almost indecisiveness that investors have, even asking if they'll be able to get that drill program going. What are some of the characteristics that you look for, or even better, some of the stocks that you're watching closely up in the Golden Triangle?
Well, you know, as far as characteristics, what you want are great targets, really identified targets. You don't want a company that's going into the expiration season needing to do a lot of groundwork before they drill, because then they get pushed back to the end of the season and hopes can be quashed by the weather, quite frankly. That actually happened to Libero Copper and Gold. They had a wonderful target everybody was looking at and very excited about called Big Red, and they were trying to mobilize the drill rigs and get in drilling right at the end of the season, and the onset of winter was a bit early, a few weeks earlier than anticipated, and they weren't able to get it drilled. So consequently, the price of the stock fell by 75% or 66% or so, by 2/3, and is trading for about 7 cents right now, when it was trading for 16 to 20 cents before. And that's the kind of opportunity I like right now. I think you can pick up a company like Libero on the cheap when it's unloved right now, and feel that the odds are very good that the share price is going to be trading considerably higher as the drills start turning in the summer. And it's kind of a slam dunk opportunity in my view, if in fact everything else holds together. You know, the metals don't completely fall out of bed. There's some interest and excitement remaining in the market as we get into drill season, which I think is a good bet. So that's one I really like.
So, Brian, how do you trade a stock like the ones in the Golden Triangle, where, say, you took a position now or a couple months ago and you see the stock run up ahead of drill results, even though you like the target? Say the stock doubles or just even goes up 50%. Do you trim some of your position, or do you stick around waiting for those results? Because the market, at least recently, if they're good, the market can run on those. But if they are not good or even kind of medium, the stock can go right back to where it started.
Correct. And you ask how I trade. I think the easy answer is not well, because I talk to everybody about Libero, yet I don't own the stock yet myself. And I fully intend to, but I've got to sell some positions. I'm like a lot of people in this market, cash poor and paper rich. And I have to sell some positions to create others, but that's a kind of an opportunity like that I like, that I have not yet bought. So probably I should shut up about it, but I'm not that smart either. So I plan on buying that. And I think if you play that right, that's the thing to do. You know, a lot of times as speculators in the sector, we fall in love with these stocks. We like the stories, and we go for the big win, and we don't try to, or really don't manage our portfolios and our cash positions very carefully, and just swing for the fences every time and again. Really, the preserving your cash, preserving your risk capital, your stakes at the table is so important in this sector. And yes, if you want to pursue this strategy, you have to have, or should have, the discipline to pare back your positions. Try to get a free ride, if you can, in the stock before these drill results come in. Because, you know, even once the drill results come in, that you can still buy the stock at higher prices if you think it's a genuine discovery that has yet to be fully appreciated by the markets.
Yeah, it's a very good point, too, is that you do have still some time in these markets, if a good drill result comes out, to at least make sure that it makes sense, and hopefully the company can tie it together. One other comment, though, regarding BC properties. There is this general fear, I guess, from some investors that projects are not going to be getting built anytime soon, or when they do get built, they could face some resistance just because of some of the government in BC. Now, we do have some projects that have gone through construction, and unfortunately, it hasn't gone too smoothly. Do you share any of those fears, or at least a little bit of worry that some of the more advanced projects could have a bit longer timeline in front of them to development?
Well, as a U.S. resident, I'm certainly no expert on BC politics. But I do believe those fears are somewhat overblown for those of us who are speculating in the junior mining stocks, because we don't want to own these stocks when they're being built, when the mines are being built or construction is being financed even. In fact, we don't want to own these companies if they think they can do it themselves. Typically, we own these as discovery plays, and we want the companies and or the projects to be bought out by the majors, at which point the permitting and construction and all those other worries are somebody else's worry and not ours. So I don't think it's really that big of a consideration for junior mining investors. And that even extends internationally or outside North America. And when you look at some of these other regimes, if the project is good enough and undervalued enough, it looks like a good enough opportunity, then you really just hope that the political situation in these countries holds together for a year or two, because that should be the time frame of your investment thesis.
Okay. Now, Brian, another stock that has been doing pretty well, actually one of the standouts, I think, in the Golden Triangle has been Skeena Resources. I chat with them on a regular basis. They have been developing, or I guess moving along, de-risking their SK project quite nicely. They have a lot of drilling planned for this year. I know that you follow them in your newsletter, too. What are your thoughts on Skeena?
I love it. I really do. I think they've got a lot more to go. I mean, the intersections that they're getting are just unbelievable. I mean, they're spectacular, would really be getting a lot of attention if it were in any other location. But because of where they're coming from, people kind of take it as a normal course of events. The key, of course, is that these resources appear to be open pittable, and if people talk about the metallurgy and potential issues there, I don't think those are issues at grades like this, and it looks like they've got the metallurgy figured out, or at least substantially de-risked. So I think the company has a long way to go from here.
All right, we will wrap it up there. I think the Golden Triangle, it does come back onto everybody's radar around this time and in the next couple months as we get some more defined drill programs and plans from these companies, and quite frankly, drills start hitting the ground and start turning up in the Golden Triangle. We'll see how the Golden Triangle broadly is viewed this year. The last couple of years, it has been a little bit slower than usual. Brian, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today. I hope you have a great rest of your holiday Monday.
Great to be with you too, Corey. Thank you.